bypass that. My voice should be live, and we are on DS106 Radio, and here is a wee bumper.
Breakaway with John and Mariana for a DS106 Good Spell. Live Sundays at 8 p.m. British time, noon Pacific time, right here on DS106 Radio.
Well, that was a bit of a rocky start. This is the DS106 Good Spell, futzing splendidly since 2013 on the DS106 Radio for Life. This is one of 106 bullets, mantras and cones, if you like, that explore the open online course Digital Storytelling 106. We'll have some rambles and meditations about education, openness, open education, art, fun and learning. I'm John Johnson, and with me, as usual, is Mariana Finnis. Good evening, Mariana.
Hello, how are you, John? I hear that you're, from where we're talking just now, your weather is terrible, and we have lovely sunshine today, so I've been out and about with Giffa Dog, who hopefully is going to be fast asleep for the whole of our program.
A disappointment to her. It was like an odd bark.
So I'm all right, but sad that you don't have much sunshine where you are.
No, it's not rained for a few hours now, and I did see some blue in the sky, so it's not all too bad.
And Rochelle can hear us, so yeah. That, you know, one of our million listener can hear us, so that's good.
And I'm quite pleased that I think I managed the transition from just streaming music to streaming our voice and music without too much futzing this week. I'll listen to the archive before I post it and make sure it all went smoothly, but it looks like I may have very little editing to do on the first bit, where I usually have a few clunks to work around, but so I'm happy. Lovely stuff, Rochelle, if you're listening, with your bumper, and we'll hear a wee bit more from Michelle later on the show. I think the bullet point we're talking about, Mariana, according to my notes, is number 7 from this summer excursion into DS106, and it is: there is only inner space fiction. Anything else does not belong to you. Give it back. Now, we're on the Cohen one here, I think, as far as understanding. I've been meditating on this one a wee bit this afternoon, and
I must say that, you know, when people read them when they came out the first time, I wonder what sense they made of them. This goes back to the person that who taught me how to tell stories, not digital stories, but stories as in physical life. I have always loved stories, but listening to them, but I used to have a belief that I couldn't tell them, that this was something that I would never be able to do. A long time ago, this is. And Alexander Mackenzie is the name of the storyteller. He used to run lots of workshops at the School of Storytelling in Emerson College here in East Sussex. And I popped over for a weekend to do a spontaneous storytelling workshop, which was the most terrifying experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And I came out being able to tell stories and loving stories. and the bullet comes. Now to go back, we can come back to that. I can say a bit more, but the bullet comes from something that he used to say and talk about a lot. That people were, you know, scared about telling stories because they felt that they wouldn't remember them because they hadn't, you know, read it enough, or they hadn't learned the story, and so on. And that actually, you know, storytelling had nothing to do with whether or not you remembered, you know, a particular script or a particular tale that was out there in kind of in the space out there outside of you. And he used to talk about this idea of inner space fiction, that actually, you know, it's all inside you, and that all that you need to do is to pay attention, and that, you know, if you believe the story and it's part of you, then you'll be able to tell the story. And that actually, you know, because it was, you know, he used to teach spontaneous storytelling, all you ever needed to do was to say once upon a time. And so that's the sort of inner space side of it. And then those stories you would always remember. And anything else that you couldn't, then, you know, that just didn't belong to you anyway. So give it back, because somebody else would pick that story up and tell it.
Ah, right. That's where they give it back. So
because it would belong to them. I guess it's not dissimilar. It kind of flows with the idea of the camel, isn't it? Picking up your camel and not other people's. But this was more in connection with telling stories and connecting with that. In the context of, you know, well, how do you create a story? And in the S106, of course, that's, you know, what we're doing all the time, noticing what's out there and then seeing what resonates in our inner space, and speaking to that somehow, and creating all these webs that we create with strange characters.
So you basically can't tell anybody else's story until you've got it down, or if it comes, I suppose, presume the spontaneous storytelling is that people tell stories that really belong to them because they happen to them or they're part of them. Is that?
Well, Well, he would argue that no matter how much of a fiction story it might be, because you would tell a fairy tale, you would tell a horror story, that no matter how much, to all extent and purposes, it was fiction and not real, that it would be saying something about you. We kind of say that in the S106 too, don't we, when we say that all of our artifacts and the things that we produce somehow make up our kind of digital identity. So it's kind of like that. And what he used to teach, which I think is quite frightening for a lot of us, was that you would just get up and perform. You wouldn't know from one moment to the next what it was that you would be telling. So you might just be given an object and you would start and tell a story, or you might just pick up a postcard and you'd tell a story. So it would be it's improvisation, really.
Yeah, I suppose it's the Petticoat type, or maybe not the Petticoat, but the sort of more extreme forms of that, where you get images you're not expecting.
Exactly.
You weave those in.
With the Flickr thing, don't we do that? And your Giphy thing. Yeah. Oh my goodness! We Alan and I had such fun playing with your Giphy thing and telling stories. And, you know, for goodness sake, now I can do it on YouTube. You know, but there was a time when you know this was not something that I loved in the same. I loved, as I say, always hearing them, but that I used to always think that I didn't have it in me to do.
Yeah. I suppose, again, we don't actually do much in DS106, especially in the audio bit where we've done storytelling and things, that the stories have always been generated by the tellers, the participants, and we might use something like a bit of media or something like that to kick these ideas off, but usually they diverge quite rapidly from, you know, any, you know, if a story is based on another story or a film or a concept or something like that, it goes away from that and goes. And I wonder if what this is, where this ramble is going, what it would be like to get people to actually take a fairy tale, for instance, and use that, and stick to the story as much, well, not completely stick to the story, but you know what I mean, to tell a well known story.
Yeah, we do very little of that. I suppose it's not coincidence that I've been attracted to DS-106, given that I have a resonance for this sort of spontaneous storytelling and improvisational theatre and so on. But yes, we don't do much of that at the School of Storytelling in Emerson. They do have people who do what they would call traditional storytelling tellers. And it is a most wonderful thing. I mean, I've been to workshops, but then I've also been to performances. Mm-hmm. And over Christmas in particular, they do Ashley Ramsden. In fact, this was the guy that was reciting the poem last that we did with the camel last week. He does a Christmas thing with, Scrooge story? And it's just him. He tells, and all of the different characters, and he plays. It's like a sort of theater thing.
Yeah.
And it's just him, so, and he moves from side to the thing, to the other, and he brings alive to you this whole story. You can almost see all of the characters, but there are no characters, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no. Uh-huh.
It's an amazing experience if you love story.
Well, I mean, I used to, when I was in the classroom, we regularly had storytellers. We had one particular storyteller who came into our school a lot, did a lot of interesting work with the children. But every so often we would have a time where half a dozen storytellers would come in and go around the school and tell different stories. And some of them were very traditional and some of them made them up. And it seems to be that it was more, storytelling was more important than the story, if you know what I mean. I don't know.
So that would be about the kind of the how you tell it, the kind of presence thing, the bit that says about connecting with your kind of inner space and you believing it and it resonating with you. And I think there is a great deal of truth in that. It's difficult to bring people in to anything if you are not somehow grounded in it. I think Jonathan Worth talks about this too, that you kind of have to believe, to believe what you say, to believe your story, or else other people are not going to believe it. And that's in relation to photographers telling who they are as photographers. But I guess it's true with most things, isn't it, if you're not engaged with the thing you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that runs through to, telling stories to kids or adults, or to doing presentations and the likes.
Exactly.
Or perhaps talking on, the DS-106 radio about something that's, you need to believe in what you're doing.
But we have to believe that we have a million listeners.
So... This is, I'm thinking this might be a good point, Mariana, and we had a wee discussion about whether we knew what this was about before, and it turned out that you did and I hadn't heard this before, but it's a song by Rochelle, who's hopefully listening, and it kind of fits in, I think, in my mind, because it's a collaborative re-edit of some lyrics, I guess, between different people. And Rochelle has finally done it. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. I'm rambling, muttering terribly here.
That's all right. We like your rambling, John.
Yes. Yeah, so I think this is a good time to play that. So we've got about 3 minutes of Mad World here by Rochelle, and I believe if I read Twitter correctly, and it may take me a minute to find it, that this was the lyrics by Cogdog, Chris 2B and Christina, but performed by Rochelle. So yeah, I think this is a good time to cue that up. So here we go.
Making our debit keeps me sane, clears my mind, revs my brain. To create is better than champagne. makes me happy, makes me happy. There's a freedom when you open up, fill your cup, fill your cup. Ride attention to a new creation, live your vision, live your vision. And I find it really grand to share my stuff with others, makes my world expand. And some call it community, or maybe family, people creating art together. It's a very, very DS106 world. DS106 world. Sane, clears my mind, revs my brain. To create is better than champagne. Makes me happy, makes me happy. There's a freedom when you open up, fill your cup, fill your cup. Ride attention to a new creation, live your vision, live your vision. And I find it really grand to share my stuff with others, makes my world expand. And some call it community, or maybe family, people creating art together. It's a very, very DS106 world. DS106 world.
So, some weird volume stuff going on there, I'm afraid. Hopefully people got that. If you're listening, or if people listen to the archive, I'll cut the original in audacity. Can you hear me, Mariana? I can't hear you for some strange reason. I wonder why not. I can see you're talking, I think. Oh, you can hear me, well. Maybe I'll take that mute off.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's horrible.
Can you hear me now? Hello, everyone! I'm here!
So, there's a few interesting things come out of listening to that and the experience of playing it there. I'll maybe do the technical ones first. a few times there, iTunes stopped on it just by itself. And I don't know, because I'm obviously here, I'm running Skype and iTunes, and they're both going into Nicecast via an effect, and Nicecast set to play silence, and then our Skype conversation comes in over that, and the iTunes should come in as well. And yesterday I attempted to install an application called SoundSiphon. Now, the current version of SoundSiphon doesn't do this, but if you sign up with some place where you can sign up for beta testing different applications, you can get a new one, and it's meant to bring the two together. And it didn't work for me, and I'm not sure if it's installed various weird things and you know, to tap into the sound. But that's the kind of technical.
You should have a conversation with David, because he was just setting everything up, because he hadn't been able to do a lot of things for a while, and he set up his machine just now, and he was managing to have music playing in the background at the same time as we were talking. So that was like, oh, you know, that's why we had big party, because he had music all the time. And it all seemed to work okay. People could hear us talking and the music. So you should have a chat with him about how he did it. And both Rochelle and I want to also learn how to do it, because we could do some fat things without you having to carry the responsibility all the time.
We'd probably be less futzing involved. But yeah, David, I believe, is listening. I think from Twitter. So if he has the secret, please pass it on. I've tried various things with what is that sound flower and all sorts of weird routings inside Nicecast. But apart from the technical things, what struck me there is we were talking, I don't know if it was actually we were talking online last week or whatever, about the fact that DS106 didn't have a musical component. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a week of audio, but it tends to be talk radio type audio. Mm-hmm. Now, the sort of collaboration that Rochelle and Crispy and Christina and Alan did there. Hi, Viv. You're late. We'll let you off. we're into sort of astronomical figures tonight, listening figures. But you know that this sort of task strikes me as one that would fit very nicely into DS106 to make some sort of collaborative song, because it would allow people who have got Rochelle's skill with music, and I'm guessing the entry level to writing the odd lyric is a bit lower for folks like myself. I'm not saying I could actually write a lyric, because I suspect there's an awful lot of musicality goes into that. But I certainly could take a song and, you know, randomise the words in some sort of way that would let me get a toehold in that segment if somebody was doing some DS106 with a bit of music involved.
Well, we were talking, and I've been trying to convince Viv and Derek, because they know so much about music, and not just about the playing and the composing, but also the history and all sorts, you know. And I've been trying to convince them to do a trial music week for The Prisoner.
Yeah, I was just going to say that would be a super idea, because...
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, no pressure there, you know.
No.
But there's a lot of music in The Prisoner. Yes, we would love to just have ... says Viv. next tweet. You know, there's a lot of music in The Prisoner. It also comes from a time, I guess, I think it was about 69 that The Prisoner came out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting possibilities musically.
You may have been away on your holidays. One of the things that David shared, I'll find it and send it for you. He sent this link saying, well, that would be a start, and he's found a whole website that had the breakdown episode by episode of all the music.
Right. I think I've maybe saw
that. Amazing thing that somebody's actually taken the time to do that.
Yeah.
But you know, there is potential for doing, I guess, a whole lot of things with that, because I do think that sound, not just in terms of the music that it's actually used, but also, you know, the kind of, I'm going to use a big word, juxtaposition of silence and music, and silence and, you know, the sort of the sound effects as well.
Mm.
How that's used in order to increase suspense and to create expectation in The Prisoner. I think, you know, anybody who understands that would have a lot of really interesting things to say, because, you know, I notice it, but I don't necessarily know enough, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think we do a really good job of, you know, increasing tension and suspicion and things like by having dead air here on Radio DS106. It gives people the chance to build up their expectations and play. It's another summer, Rochelle's just mentioned another summer DS106 effort. She's planning a Bergeron 106 Fairy Tale Music Week this DS106 summer. So as well as the Prisoner DS-106 for open people, there's also the Bergeron 106 summer DS-106 going on. It looks as if there's a bit of Viv's complaining about lack of time because she's working, and she's obviously got her priorities just completely wrong. I think we would understand that. So it looks like there will be some opportunities for music in DS-106 this summer, and that may be useful for other courses. I think there's a couple of official DS-106 courses going on at the moment as well.
There are two or three, I think, a couple at the University of Mary Washington, and then the other one is at Denver, the University of Denver. I think those are the sort of three, and then there is the one that there's something else, some other university, some other place that escapes me now. But they're not doing a lot of tweeting, so I guess unless you go to the site and you get more involved in that, then you know I can't really say very much about what they're doing. But I guess it's summertime.
Anyway,
we should get back to our bullet and our storytelling thingy that we were talking about. But we're getting close to our end already.
Yeah, but I thought we were on our bullet pretty well there, but because I think that this idea of, I can't pronounce the word, but you know, taking over somebody else's song, so the theme tune from that Mad World. Taking it over, I take theme tune because I associate it with Donnie Darko, of course, rather than the actual song. But you know, appropriating that and adding your own lyrics and things like that is a really interesting way to get in. And all you need to do is make sure in your group that you have got some talented.
Musicians, I guess. You need the person to put it together and being able to, I think the words part, the kind of telling, you know, creating the lyrics. I mean, I've never tried doing it, but I could imagine that somehow being easier, certainly for me, with being easier than, because I couldn't even begin to think about the music and putting that together in any way, which is why I kind of, you know, value so much the people in the S106 that can do that just at the drop of a hat. Oh, here's a little something we put together. Use it for whatever you want, and it sounds beautiful.
certainly. Bill Smith saying there's also the independent DS-106 players, which kind of sounds like a merry band of traveling showmen. And I guess those are the people that are following the Daily Create, and they might not actually be involved in any particular course, and they might actually not be in even the sort of reasonably loose and hard to understand summer ones.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely, Bill. That's what I shall call us from now on.
Yeah.
The independent DS-106 players. Oh, yeah. I feel another summer dew coming on. It's lovely.
I'm quite interested at the moment myself in the Prisoner one, although I'm not sure which direction it's going, but the opportunity to do something musical would be, of course, for somebody to take over a week, and it almost seems designed like that from whoever's designing it, and I don't know who that is. I don't know who's behind the site, prisoner106.us, which is interesting. I'm obeying them, I guess.
Well, I think we all should, or else we'll be in deep trouble.
But it's
of course, completely losing all the people that don't have a clue about the Prisoner, so perhaps we should move on.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Just because we like it doesn't mean that other people like it.
No. Okay. So we've run to half an hour. Have you any more to go in that bullet? Because we've got a sort of extra. ending that
we do. We have a lovely story which really just talks about, I mean, maybe just to say as a way of introducing that one of the things that we used to learn at the workshop with Alexander and doing the kind of spontaneous storytelling was at the end of the workshop. So, you know, you would always do a circle and tell a story, and the idea, the way he would frame it, was that because we had gotten so much out of all the storytelling during the workshop, that it was our turn to give something back to the world of story by telling a story. And he said, you know, and I always used to think that was a beautiful thing, the idea of, you know, kind of gratitude and appreciation for what storytelling offers us as human beings. So that may be a good way to introduce the next story.
So the next story is called Windmill Butterfly. Rochelle kindly sent it over. It's on SoundCloud, and we'll pop various. we have to, Rochelle. We have to. It's very nice, but you know, you gotta keep time. You've got 10 minutes of you now, which will be lovely. So it's on SoundCloud. I'll get all those in the show notes with the audio on EduTalk with the DS106 tag. I've just been distracted by Twitter again. I'm going to start this up.
Come on, kids. Gather round. Come on. Come over here with Nana Lou under Dr. M's treehouse. Cuddle up close, Bergeron kids. Yep. You too, little Boo. Come on, bring Doggy Boo. Settle all in cozy. It's time for Nana Lou to tell your evening story. And tonight, it's the old windmill and the little butterfly. Once upon a time, there was an old windmill that stood on its spot as long as the people could remember. The miller was very proud of his mill that was made by hand by his forefathers. No other windmill in the county could grind as fine as this one. From all over the county, the farmers brought their corn to the miller. The old windmill was taken care of very well. An extra coat of paint in due time, some varnish on the sails, a good clean of the millstone. No efforts were spared in order to keep the windmill in good shape. The miller dreamed of the moment that he could pass on his windmill to his eldest son, who was about to get married, and who would continue the miller's good work with much love. But it wasn't just the miller who dreamed. The windmill itself dreamed too. How much he would like to explore the wide world, to look upon the earth from way above, to make long journeys and have many adventures. Oh yes, how much I would like to do all that, sighed the old windmill. Where's that sigh coming from? Whispered the wind. The wind was the oldest friend of the mill. Over many years, the sails had been dancing in full harmony to the wind. Even when it stormed, and when the wind played a rough game upon the sails, they caught the blows without any complaints. My old friend, you've known me for such a long time already, and yet you have no knowledge of my deepest wish. What would that be, then, dear windmill? Nobody can grind as well as you. You're being well taken care of, and soon you'll get a new boss who's bragging about you to his friends already. That's true, but I want to fly. To fly? Said the wind. But why? I want to see the world. I hear the birds whistle and tell each other all kinds of stories when they fly by. At times I'm lucky when they take a short break on one of my sails, and then I hear a little bit more of their story. But mostly, It's all just small parts of the whole thing, and it's just like a patchwork blanket without any color to me. Oh, my dear old friend, maybe I can be of help to you. I can't let you fly, but maybe there's another way to get to know more about the world. Tomorrow is a new day. Let's just see what it'll bring to you. At dawn, the old windmill felt a breeze caressing its sails. The wind put a small, fluffy thing on a sail. A thing unknown to the mill. After a couple of days on a sunny day, the cocoon, for that was what the wind had put on the sail, opened up. And a beautiful, colorful butterfly got out. She was more beautiful than anything the windmill had seen before. "Welcome, my little friend," said the windmill. "Let me be your home." "Where am I? Who are you?" "I'm an old windmill, and you're one of my sails." "Oh," said the butterfly while looking around. "Sorry, but I have to be off now. I have to fly." "Please, little butterfly, don't leave me. I'm standing here for more than 100 years, always on the same spot. I see nothing of the world beyond the fields and the little town. Couldn't you go into the world for me and return every evening filled with stories and adventures and share those with me? Couldn't you be my eyes to the world?"
"But I can't fly that far in one day," said the butterfly.
The windmill looked sadly at the butterfly. Would his dream be nothing but a dream after all? The windmill was too occupied with his grief to notice that the wind had returned. "Fear not, my friend," said the wind. "I'll lift this darling creature every day farther than she could have flown on her own strength. I'll lift her way into the sky, and we'll fly with her over clouds and rainbows. When she gets tired, I'll bring her back every night to you, dear old pal."
"Then it's okay," said the little butterfly. "Old windmill, I'll be your window to the world, and thus we will have many adventures together."
And so it went. Every morning the little butterfly was taken by the wind to faraway places and was brought back to the windmill when the sun went down. The windmill listened to all the stories eagerly and lived through all adventures with such intensity that it could have been his own adventures. Weeks passed and summer became autumn. On a warm day, the butterfly landed on a sail and said,
"Dear old windmill, the world is such a great adventure, and many adventures we've lived through. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did."
"What do you mean, my friend?"
"I feel my eyes getting blurry and my wings getting stiff. Even when the wind is ever so gentle with me, there will still be a time that I will make my last journey and become as one with the wind."
"But I'll miss you," said the windmill.
"I will miss you too, old friend. I'd love to have a place to rest where you'd know where I am, and where you might even see me once in a while, but all that is not in our hands."
The butterfly said farewell to the windmill, and the windmill waved his last goodbye with his slowly turning sails. The wind lifted the butterfly with its weary body and took it to the nearby meadow. In the green grass of the meadow stood a beautiful young woman.
"How lucky I am,"
she whispered to herself,
"to get to live here with the love of my life."
The young wife of the miller's son looked up and saw the little butterfly approaching her. She lifted her hand and the butterfly landed gently on her finger.
"How beautiful you are. And how nice of you to visit me on this last warm evening. Shall we watch the sun go down together?
The young miller's wife put the butterfly on her bare shoulder, and together they watched the sunset. The little butterfly, tired yet satisfied of everything that she had seen, closed her wings for the last time, while the windmill's sails turned to the gentle breeze of the wind. Oh, look at the little ones there. They've fallen asleep already. Oh, a few of them with tears in their eyes, just like old Nana Lou. All right, come on. Off y'all go. It's bedtime now. No more stories tonight. I'll see you tomorrow evening here at the same spot. And then we can share the stories the butterfly must have taken back to the windmill every evening, just as we tell each other our daily adventures over supper each night. Okay, little boo, you off too. You need to find your mama. Night, everybody.
So Mama Lou has just said, Nana Lou rather, sorry, Nana, has just said goodnight. And I think we should probably do the same. Mariana?
Good night, everybody. And good night, Bill in particular, because we don't often hear from Bill. So it's lovely to have that you're listening.
Yeah, we'll see you on Flickr, probably. And I don't know if somebody else has taken over the stream now. I don't know if David's going to take over the stream.
Oh, that would be lovely. We can listen.
A night of DS 106. So I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now. Cheers, folks.